thank you, Sandy and Joni, for the special number. Appreciate it. And to think that that was voluntary, I didn't even twist her arm. It works better that way. I'd like to ask you to turn, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. Verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the gospel right there, isn't it? The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. To analyze this brief statement, number one, we have his humanity, the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus delighted to refer to himself as the Son of Man. He was the Son of God. But the Son of Man is his human title. And he delighted to refer to himself as the Son of Man because that was his goal in coming to this earth, to become a man so that he could die. As the Son of God, he could not die. But the Son of Man had a body so that he could go to Calvary to die and to receive and to save sinful man. His humanity, the Son of Man. His incarnation has come, came into the world, was born a human being to become our Savior. Number three, his mission, to seek and to save. That's why he came. That was the mission that he had, that the Father sent him on so that he could seek and to save. And then we have in this passage man's condition summed up in a single word, lost. Every person in this world that is not a born-again Christian believer falls into this classification. Lost. Can be religious. That doesn't make any difference. Still lost. In fact, that's my personal testimony. Before I was saved, religious, but lost. Could be a criminal on death row, also lost. And that's why he came into this world, to save the lost. Now the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with each person as individuals when he witnessed. I want to look at the Lord Jesus today as the master evangelist. Now we want to include the gospel, but our primary purpose is to learn some lessons from the master evangelist method, how to go about witnessing and evangelizing. The Lord Jesus dealt with each person individually on their own terms. And I would like to focus this morning on three converts that the Lord Jesus witnessed to And they were saved by that grace that we have read about. And I want to think about three personalities that the Lord Jesus had contact with, that he witnessed to, and they were saved. Nicodemus is one of them. The Samaritan woman there by the well, Sychar's well. Zacchaeus, the little man up in a tree. He got saved through the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to look at these three personalities and the Lord Jesus' involvement with them in evangelism, in witnessing to them. Now, Nicodemus, he emphasized the Lord Jesus. He saw the Lord Jesus as a teacher sent from God. That was the theme that Nicodemus wanted to discuss with the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus changed his discussion and talked about the new birth. You must be born again, Nicodemus. With all of your religion, you can't go to heaven that way. And the Samaritan woman, the theme that she was interested in was worship. She says that our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. She was interested in the subject of worship, and the Lord Jesus soon changed the subject to living water. Zacchaeus, a little man, climbed up into a sycamore tree so that he could get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He was too high, and the Lord Jesus said to him, come down. If you want to get saved, you're going to have to come down. Well, we want to learn some lessons in evangelism from the master evangelist. The Lord Jesus was involved in teaching multitudes of people. But you know, I don't know of a single convert in that multitude. I don't know of any. Probably there were converts that got saved through his speaking to multitudes. And I think the Lord Jesus' favorite ministry was one-on-one evangelism. Souls got saved through that one-on-one evangelism. And because the Lord Jesus used a different approach with each one that he witnessed to, it would be very hard to use a pre-planned tool for evangelizing. Now, there are some Christians that make good use of it. And if you use it, the Lord bless you. For example, the four spiritual laws was introduced by Campus Crusade probably 50 years ago, 40 years ago. The four spiritual laws. Some people make good use of it. I've tried it. It just doesn't work. Page one. You believe that everyone is a sinner. If your answer is yes, turn to page two. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus died for sinners? If the answer is yes, turn to page three. Do you want to get saved? If the answer is yes, turn to page four and then pray this prayer. I've tried to use that and, you know, it doesn't work for me. Because I find that every person that I talk to is different. And the Lord Jesus, when he dealt with these individuals, and we're thinking of three of them now, each one, they received the same gospel message, but the approach was different on each one of them. John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we'll be reading verses 1 to 7. This is the Lord Jesus and Nicodemus. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, he must be born again. As we said, that Nicodemus saw the Lord Jesus as a teacher come from God. And the Lord Jesus interrupted him. That's not what we're going to talk about. And the Lord Jesus says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That must have been a shock to this religious Pharisee, a good living person, a man who tried to get to heaven through his religion and through his good works. And the Lord Jesus, right out of the blue, he says to him, Nicodemus, you can't make it that way. You can't go to heaven with your religion. You see, Nicodemus was interested in a teacher, and he didn't need more knowledge. That's not what Nicodemus needed. I tell you what he needed. He needed salvation from a Savior, not knowledge from a teacher. Nicodemus would have been a model religionist. As we mentioned earlier, religious but lost. That was his condition. New birth. You know, John's gospel is the only gospel that refers to the new birth. You must be born again. Because the new birth means eternal life. Birth means life, doesn't it? Whether it's physical or spiritual. The new birth means eternal life. And John's Gospel is the only place in the Bible where you find the subject of the new birth. Eternal life is the theme of John's Gospel. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not perish, but have everlasting life. That's in John 3, verse 15. Search the scriptures and you will find eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's John 5, verse 39. Peter said to the Lord Jesus, Thou hast the words of eternal life. Who can we turn to? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. That's John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 68. And then that beautiful passage, the Lord Jesus himself said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. That's all in John's gospel. That's the new birth gospel. There are four musts in John chapter 3. Four musts of salvation. Let's look at them briefly. We read about it in verse 7. You must be born again. No matter how religious you are, no matter how good you are, you can't get to heaven that way. You must be born again. The Son of Man must be lifted up. That's verse 14. There was no way to get to heaven apart from the lifting up of the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus Christ, now again, is the Son of Man. He became man so that he could be lifted up on the cross at Calvary. Then John the Baptist made the statement concerning the Lord Jesus. He must increase. Because you see, John recognized him as God. He is worthy, and he is worthy of our worship, and he must increase. And one more must, John the Baptist said, I must decrease. The reason I must decrease is because I'm a guilty sinner. I'm lost, bankrupt, needing the grace of God. I must decrease. What was the Lord Jesus trying to convince Nicodemus of? When he said, you must be born again? I tell you, for many years in my life, I said that the Lord was trying to get Nicodemus to go and get himself baptized. That's what I believed. That's not what the Lord was telling Nicodemus. Go and get yourself baptized. Baptism has nothing to do with it. You must be born again. You could be baptized 150 times and still not go to heaven. You must be born again. The Lord Jesus was convicting and convincing Nicodemus of John 3:16. In the same chapter, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what the Lord Jesus was convincing Nicodemus to believe the gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4, please. We'll read some select verses in relation to the woman of Samaria, the woman at Sychar's well. John chapter 4, we'll read some select verses. Verse 4, it says that he, the Lord Jesus, must needs pass through Samaria. Verse 7, there came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that says unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, every one that drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. The woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come all the way hither to drink, to draw. Let's jump to verse 28. So the woman left her water pot and went away into the city and said to the people, Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. Can this be the Christ? What a beautiful gospel story. It certainly took the grace of God for the Lord Jesus to identify with this woman. First of all, he was a Jew. She was a Samaritan, and the Samaritans and the Jews had no dealing together. He was a man and she was a woman, and back in that time, that would have been out of culture. It was very humble on the part of the Lord Jesus to identify this with this woman. You see, the Lord Jesus knew all about this woman. He knew that she was an immoral person. He knew that she had been living with five husbands, and the man that she was now a live-in relationship with was not her husband. He knew that. And yet, he waited for her to come. He sat on the well. Now, she didn't seek him. She knew nothing about him. But he waited for her. Because isn't that what we read about in John's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 10? He came to seek. He came to seek and to save. So he waited for her at the well. And her interest was aroused by his friendship. That's a lesson we can learn in child evangelism. He was very friendly with her. He asked her for a drink. That was out of culture too. There was no way that a Jew would bow so low to ask a Samaritan for a drink of water. I'd rather die than do something like that. And the Lord Jesus caught her interest by being friendly with her. He asked her for a drink, and then he offered her a gift, eternal life. Another lesson in evangelism. He didn't condemn her for her immorality. He didn't tell her, you're a prostitute and you're going to hell. Not what he said. But he tactfully and graciously touched her conscience with facts. Spoke about her five husbands, and the one that she now has is not her husband. In other words, he confronted her with her sin. No one is going to get saved unless they are confronted with their sin. And I think when the Lord Jesus spoke to Nicodemus and said, you must be born again, I think he was confronted too, wasn't he? And he confronted this woman with her sin and her need of a Savior. I'd like to notice two more musts in this account. It says in verse 4, it says that he must go through Samaria. That was a must. Geographically, it was not a must. No other Jew would have taken that route through to Samaria. But why was it a must for him to go this route through Samaria? I'll tell you why. There was a sinner who needed a Savior. And that directed the Lord Jesus through this place. He must needs go through Samaria. And the second must, this woman wanted to talk about worship. She said, our fathers worship in this mountain. And you Jews say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. And the Lord Jesus said to her, they must worship him in spirit and in truth. Not Samaria, not Jerusalem. The place is not involved, it's the person. The final conclusion of this account of the Lord Jesus with the woman, she drank of the living water. She had a pot that she came to the well with to draw water, and she forgot all about drawing water. She put the pot down. You know what she did? She went back to the city, and she told everybody, and I presume it includes the men that were involved in her life, is not this the Messiah? Here is the Savior. And she introduced those people to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. That was the evidence that this woman was truly saved. She was different now. And apparently the people of her city that knew her so well, something has happened to this woman, and she led them to the Savior. What a beautiful testimony this is. Witnessing for the Lord Jesus. You know, I remember, it happened several years at the Labor Day conference. Some of you young people, we praise the Lord for you. I don't know whether it was a Saturday afternoon or a Sunday afternoon, you went out handing out gospel tracts, witnessing the park and the street. Don't know where it was. That thrilled my heart. That's what this woman did. She went and introduced the people to the Savior. You know, young people, it's a wonderful, wonderful way to serve the Lord. Handing out tracts, witnessing when the opportunity arises. My heart was thrilled when I heard about that. In fact, I shared this with many of my friends. You know, I'm going to share a challenge with you young people, older ones too. You know what would be better than once a year at Labor Day conference to go out witnessing, giving out tracts? You know what would be better than that? Do it every week. That's a challenge, isn't it? A campus, you've got a multitude of young people there that need the Savior. The street, the parks, door to door, it's a wonderful opportunity. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. We'll be reading from verses 1 through 10. Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, verse 1. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. And he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste, come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. Isn't that something, that the Lord Jesus would be a guest of a man that is a sinner? And Zacchaeus stood, and he said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I will restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. And now the key verse, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was a rich man, but he was seeking the Savior. It seems as though his riches did not satisfy. In fact, riches often hinder. There are other things that can hinder a person from coming to the Savior. Family. I know of cases where families hinder someone in their Christian testimony. Happens often in the Philippine Islands. Friends, quote, unquote, hinder. Fame, position in life, pride, pet sins, all of these things can hinder a person from coming to the Lord Jesus. I'd like you to notice another must in this passage. It was the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus, Today I must abide at thy house. Not only was Nicodemus saved that day, but he had fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus doesn't save you just to keep you out of heaven, out of hell, and take you to heaven. He's got another plan for you. He saved you for fellowship. He says, Today I must abide at thy house. something that is interesting, the Lord Jesus calls Zacchaeus by name, never met before. I imagine this was a shock to Zacchaeus. All of a sudden he heard this stranger speak to him and call him by name. Because you see, the Lord Jesus was now his shepherd. A shepherd knows his sheep by name. His response was encouraging. He made haste. He came down. He had to come down because as long as he was up there in the tree, he was too out of reach for the Savior to reach him. The Lord Jesus told him to come down. He made haste. He came down and he received him joyfully. What a beautiful testimony this is of Zacchaeus. The Lord Jesus Christ's mission. He came to seek and to save the lost. We've considered the Lord Jesus as the master evangelist. He was the one that was evangelizing. We can learn many important lessons from him in evangelism. There were three persons that were saved. A very religious person, Nicodemus. He needed salvation. An outcast woman, an immoral woman. She needed to be saved and she got saved. And then a rich man. He needed to be saved and he got saved. What do I learn from that? The gospel is for whosoever will. Religious, immoral, rich. So the Lord Jesus is our example in evangelism. I hope we can learn some lessons from him today. But let me remind you that it is only the indwelling Holy Spirit that can give us the power to witness. It is only the Holy Spirit of God that can guide us in our witness for him. I think a lesson that we can learn from the Lord Jesus today, we need to have social contact with non-Christians. You know, it is so easy for Christians to be isolated from the unsaved. We're not supposed to be isolated. Separated from worldliness, yes. You can witness to drunkards, but you don't have to do it in the saloon. I think that's about what it amounts to. You can witness to the prostitutes, but you don't have to do it in her bedchamber. We need to reach them. Reach them with friendliness, friendship. I'm not talking about friendship evangelism. That has gone overboard. Friendship evangelism is you never talk to them about salvation because you might offend them. Just make friends with them. I tell you the problem with friendship evangelism is building bridges, we can build the bridge so long that they'll end up falling off the end of it and going into hell. That's not God's plan. Yes, friendship, yes. But make sure you do what the Lord Jesus did. Remind them of their lost condition and remind them that the Lord Jesus is ready to save. The Lord Jesus gave these three people two choices of two destinies. Either yes or no, either heaven or hell. In closing, I think lessons that we can learn from the Lord Jesus, if we're going to witness as Christians, we have to take the lead. That's what the Lord Jesus did. He took the lead in the conversation. Number two, keep on track. Avoid detours. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. It's happened to me through the years a number of times. Witness to someone, share the gospel, remind them that they need a Savior, that they're lost and condemned already, that they need a Savior. And just about the time that you would like to see them bow the knee and receive the Lord Jesus, they take you on a detour. One of the favorite detours that I have observed through the years, they listen to the gospel and you think they're ready to get saved, and they ask you a question like, what about the heathen that have never heard the gospel? I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's happened to me. All of a sudden, they got interested in the heathen. What were they doing? Trying to get you on a detour. Trying to get you off the subject of the gospel. The answer that I give to them when they come up with such a question is, if you're concerned about the heathen, why don't you get saved today and then tomorrow go to the heathen and share the gospel with them? Don't you think that's a good idea? Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for the master evangelist. We thank Thee for the methods that he used. Very tactfully, very lovingly, very frankly, he told these people that they needed salvation. We pray that we will learn the lessons from him and that we would be faithful in our witness and evangelism for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his worthy name. Amen.